Today's scripture reading, Genesis 15, 1 through 12, 17 through 18, New Living Translation. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside, said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of this. Then the Lord told him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, out of Chaldeans, to give you this land as your possession." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure that I will actually possess it?" The Lord told him, "Bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that our descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for your sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, "I have given this land to your descendants all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River." This is the word of God.
Thank you, Patrick. That was awesome. I want to thank Patrick, by the way. He's our youth leader, and he's doing a great job. And we do have youth group after church today. You know, I have, Nancy and I, we have lots of these little boxes stored away. Some of them are plastic, and some of them are cardboard, and they're about the size of a shoebox, and they're stuffed to overflowing with, anybody know? Pictures. Yeah, pictures. We have tons and tons of pictures. Now, you remember what pictures were. Some of you may not even know if the youth are still in the room. Those little squares, you know, of heavy paper. On one side, there's an image. It's usually blurry of some kid or some place or some dog, you know. If they go back to the 70s, it's somebody with really embarrassing hair. And we have lots and lots of these pictures, and we keep them in either albums if we're organized or boxes if you're like me and my wife. We keep them because they're a tangible reminder of where we have been, who we became, and really important moments in our lives. And we intend to take those memories, take that past forward to the next generation so that they can know where we came from. And what we became, even if it's embarrassing. And they can know also where they came from and where they're going. So these pictures are important to us because they're that tangible reminder, that tangible reminder that we can pass forward. Now, pictures are really a whole different ballgame these days, right? It's so easy to take pictures that people take pictures constantly. Have you noticed that? But you know, for all of our ability to be able to take pictures and really record every single minute of our lives, research shows that we're remembering a lot less. That in fact, when we're viewing all of those precious moments through a camera lens, our brain is actually recording fewer of the details of those moments. So even though we're able to record everything, well, it's not doing us all that much good. In fact, the sheer volume of the number of pictures that we can take, coupled with the fact that they're actually stored not in a tangible way, but on a cloud someplace, some virtual place, it means that we rarely even access those pictures. So we're not recording our memories here, and we're not even hanging on to them in a tangible way. And that's a sad thing, because we are mortal and we do forget, you know. And we need a way to remind us of our past and to carry that past forward. We need to do that with all of our experiences in life, our major moments, but we also need to do it with our experiences with God. So important to carry those moments forward for the next generation. That's where Abram is today in this passage that we read. Abram is having a peak experience with God. He's having a really important moment with God. And of course, it isn't the first one he's had. Some of you know the story, some of you don't. Abram was living a life of real prosperity and comfort years before this. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he has this mystical experience with God. He hears God's voice. He actually hears God's voice. And God's voice tells him, urges him to get his wife, to get his extended family, to get all of his livestock and his servants, and there's hundreds of them, to get all of those things and pull up stakes and strike out into the desert, into a new land that God will show him. And God promises him, he says, if you do this, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you'll be a blessing. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, come on, what a promise. What a promise. Well, it's too great of a promise for Abram to pass up. So trusting God, he does it. He pulls up stakes. Heads out across this desert to a land that God promises that he will recognize when he gets there. That's all he knows. Trusting God, he encounters all kinds of dangers and obstacles. God sees him through. Trusting God, he's attacked by the people who are around him in this strange land. And he has to do battle, but God is with him and leads him to victory over all of those people. And finally, he ends up trusting God in this new land. And when he is there, he's visited again by God, this time in voice and in vision. God comes to him, and he reiterates this great promise of blessing that Abram will have. And in that moment, Abram asks God, he says, can this blessing also include a son for me? Because he had no children of his own. And it was so important to him. He asked God, can you please give me a son too? And God in this vision, he patiently takes Abram outside and shows him those stars. And says, oh, Abram, look at all those stars. Count them. Count them if you can. Indeed, that's the number of descendants I will give you. Well, in that moment, Scripture says, in that moment, Abram believed. And God is so pleased with his faith that he declares him righteous, meaning that he is right with God. He is aligned with God. He's God's man. You couldn't get closer to God and still remain human. That's how together they are in that moment. Abram and God. And yet, in that moment, even as Abram is looking at all those stars, you know, even as he's remembering how God led him through the desert and helped him through the troubles and gave him all those victories, even as he is standing in the very presence of God and in his vision, even in that moment, Abram says, "Oh, but God, how can I be sure? How can I be sure this is going to happen? Give me a sign." Now, we might think, you know, come on, Abram, you've had voices, you've had visions, you've had a visit from God. Your sign quota, maybe you've hit it, you know, maybe you've had enough signs. But what does Abram want here? He wants a tangible sign. He wants something he can hold on to. He wants something that he can hold on to remind him of that moment and remind him of his belief. See, it's not that he doesn't trust God. He's trusted God. We know that he trusts God. It's not that he doesn't believe. God knows he believes, but he wants that tangible sign, that thing he can hold on to for those days when he does have doubt. A tangible sign that he can pass on, that he can pass forward to the next generation, so that when those multitude of descendants, when they have their moment of doubt, that they have that reminder. That reminder of Abram's belief and God's promise. And you know, God's okay with that. God knows Abram is human. God knows that we as human beings, we want those tangible things to hold on to, that we need those reminders, that we need those things. God's okay with it, with Abram. And guess what? He's okay with it when it comes to us. Because we want a sign, because we want signs from God, sign of his presence, it doesn't mean that our faith is any less. Every one of us who's walked in this room today has come here because we believe in God, or we're seeking to believe in God. And you know what? That's actually the same thing. We believe. But we also know, I mean, let's be honest, we also know that there are times when we feel like we are just full of the presence of God, and other times we feel empty. There are times when we feel on fire for God, and other times when we feel cool, when we feel strong in our faith, when we feel weak. There are times that we feel like God indeed has his arms right around us and we're just walking closely together, and other times when we feel like God is really far away. And like Abram, we know down deep, if we really examine ourselves, that we believe, but like Abram too, we want a sign. We want those things to hold on to. And I think God is very willing to give us those signs if we're willing to open our eyes and open our hearts and look around to see them. Sometimes they're really mystical experiences. This happens to people. But most of the time, I think those signs that God is with us, those signs that we believe, they come to us in the most usual and routine places. Some of them that Abram experienced as well. For instance, God comes to us and gives us a sign of his presence and our belief in nature a lot of times. Right? You notice when God wants to encourage Abram, he takes him out of his tent. Takes him out of his tent and he shows him the sky. And those stars are a powerful sign to him of all the innumerable people that he will touch. But it's also a powerful sign to him of how great God is, that He can create that universe, that God that we believe in can create all that is around us, that God can recreate us at any moment. Yeah. It's an important sign to us. And sometimes the simplest way to reconnect with God, to reinvigorate our faith, is to get out of our tent, to get away from the television, get away from the computer, get off the phone, stop taking pictures of life and get engaged with it, especially the way God created it in nature. Nature can be a powerful sign to us of God's grace and His abundance, and a reminder that we believe, that we believe. So He sees us in nature. He gives us signs in nature. God gives us signs, I think, in honest and open prayer and His word in Scripture. Those two things together. You notice when God came to Abram and He reiterates this amazing promise of blessing that He has for Abram. He reiterates all this wonderful stuff that He's going to bestow onto Abram, this great blessing. Abram's response is, "Oh, but God, what good is your blessing when I don't have a son?" He's hurting. He wants so much to have that son. And he is honest with God in his sadness. He's honest with God. It's powerful. It's a powerful way to connect with God when we're honest with Him in prayer, when we're honest with Him, when we talk to Him honestly. And God knows how we feel anyway, you know. It's not going to shock Him. He loves us for it. It's a powerful way to connect with God and feel filled with Him again. And then to look to Scripture. Because in Scripture are powerful signs. Signs to us. Because there is nothing that we're experiencing in our faith life and our faith journey and our journey in life that has not been experienced by people of faith before us. It's all there. Even experienced by Jesus Christ Himself. Including feeling far and alienated from God. Jesus felt that. Powerful sign. Powerful sign that bolsters our belief. God gives us signs. God gives us signs in our sacraments, you know. When Abram wanted this tangible sign, he wanted this reminder of this moment that he was having with God and the promises that God had given him, God gives him this elaborate ritual. An elaborate ritual that engages all of his senses. And he underscores that ritual. He underscores that sign that he gives to Abram. He underscores his faithfulness and his promise by bringing life and death into that ritual. Now, Abram will pass that on to further generations, and those generations will use that sign as a reminder of Abram's belief and of God's promise, and that sign will resonate with them when God actually sends His own Son to create a new covenant, a new agreement with all people that will be sealed by Jesus' death and His resurrection, His death and His life. It all works together. It's one big sign. And it comes down to us in our sacrament of Holy Communion. That sacrament, that sign, that enlivens our faith, but at the same time reminds us of all those who have come before and gives us an opportunity to take that and pass it forward. God, in His grace, gives us sacraments. And finally, one of God's greatest signs to us that we believe is each other. as Abram lived out the promise that God had given him. He saw that promise verified, fulfilled in the family that he did create and in all of the people that he touched who also came to believe. And every time we walk into this place, we're not only coming here for ourselves, we're a sign to each other, a beautiful living sign to each other that we believe. No matter how we come walking in there, by the way, whether we are full of the power of God and we're singing his praises, or whether we're coming and we're feeling empty, it doesn't matter how we come. The fact that we come is a sign to us of our belief, and it's a sign to each other that God is with us, and that we believe. That we believe. And we do believe. Even though we may want those reminders. And God is willing to give us those reminders, I think, when we open up our eyes. And we're willing to look. I wonder if you remember any signs that you've seen in your life. I wonder if you remember maybe the first sign. My first sign came when I was probably, maybe this high. I remember it vividly. I remember walking with my mother to church. I was dressed in a short pants suit, and I had my hand in my mom's hand. And this is the sign I remember. Walking and looking up and seeing at the top of a steeple this thin white cross just gleaming against one of those impossibly blue California skies. Etched in my mind. Now, I didn't have the words to understand it, but I know what it was speaking to me, that sign. It spoke to me of God who was high above, God who could see all, God whose power and whose love was just radiating down, was above us, and that my mother and I were equal, under that authority and that love. It was different. It's a lot for a four-year-old. As I say, I didn't think all that at the time. But here's what I know. Here's what I believe. I believe that that sign etched into my heart, etched into my mind, spared me, saved me, acted as a check on me to keep me from going over the deep end, you know, when I had wandered far from God. And I also know this, that when I had my own kids, I made it a point to walk to church, and I made it a point to show them that cross, and I, on top of our church, and I made it a point to remind them that God is always with them. And I know that that sign has stuck with them. I know it has, because they've told me so. What's your sign? We may not remember the very first sign that we ever had from God, that very first moment where we thought about God in relation to us. But every day is a good day to go out and look for new ones. And I know that God obliges us when we sincerely are looking for those signs that remind us that we believe. Those signs that remind us that God is with us. Those tangible signs that we can hold on to every single day. Even in those days that come and go when we feel doubt. Even those signs that we can pass forward to the next generation. God loves to give us those signs if we want to go look for them. So praise God, let's look for them today. Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes it is just overwhelming, God, to think of your greatness and try and wrap our minds around it. But God, you do give us ways. You do give us signs. You give us signs in the nature that's around us, in prayer and in the word, in our sacraments, Lord, and in each other as we look to each other. We see signs of your great love and your faithfulness. Help us, O God, to receive those signs, to receive those signs that remind us that we believe, and to receive those signs today that we may pass them on to those around us, and to do so in the name of Jesus. Amen.